Let us turn to Joshua chapter 9, and we will just read from a few verses I will read to you, and you just follow. Joshua chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clothed upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. Let's go down to verse 14 and 15, the last. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not at the counsel of, at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and make a league with them, and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. The Lord bless us in the ring of his word. This evening, my subject is the danger of not watching unto prayer. Joshua chapter 9 is another lesson to remind us of our helplessness and hopelessness without the Lord Jesus Christ. It warns us here from this chapter of the deception of the evil one to tempt us, and to show how quick, easy, and prone we are to succumb to the deceitfulness of our own heart and sin against our God. Moreover, this chapter, Joshua chapter 9, highlights once again that it is only in Christ alone and in obedience to his word will believers be able to overcome our many spiritual enemies and to enjoy our spiritual inheritance during our short pilgrim journey here. For the believers, we are reminded that our spiritual warfare is not over yet. Therefore, we have a regenerate heart, we are not only witnesses for Christ, according to Acts 1:8, followers of Christ, Revelation 4:14-4, and we are also soldiers of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. As such, the evil one will not leave us alone, will not cease its attack, and will continue like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Therefore, as Christian soldiers, we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, and to watch unto prayer according to the injunction of 1 Peter 4:7, and also to put on the whole armor of God, as Paul teaches us in Ephesians 6:11 and 13, all the time. Turning to our attention to this account of the deception deployed by the Gibeonites, beginning from verse 3, we can derive 3 very important and practical precautions for our use in our daily spiritual warfare. Namely, number 1, recognize that the evil one is deceptive. Number 2, rely on the Lord for every decision of life. Number 3, regard not the glow, G-L-O-W, regard not the glow of victory that will blind our clear perception. Let us consider the first precaution. Recognize that the evil one is deceptive. For the Gibeonites, they reacted very differently from all the other kings mentioned in verse 1. Instead of rebelling or a direct confrontation with Israel, they craftily devised a peace treaty, which in our modern term can be described as soft power. It is the use of co-option and attraction to obtaining what one wants. And here, through the Gibeonites, you see a shade of soft power in verse 11, used by the evil one to deceive Christians who are not watchful. In 1 Peter 5, 8, the evil one is depicted, as you know, as a roaring lion which speaks of his using force. But here he is represented as a subtle serpent that employs craftiness to poison and corrupt. In the former character, Satan acts more openly and assaults from without. In the latter, he works more secretly, aiming to influence from within. In stirring up the kings of Canaan to fight with Joshua, Satan was relying upon the use of arms. But in moving the Gibeonites to conceal their true identity so that the Israelites might be deceived into making a league with them, we see Satan's craftiness to infiltrate and then sabotage from within. Brethren, though the evil one has been defeated by the finished redemptive work of Christ on the cross, yet he has not given up the fight. Satan is not discouraged by the loss of Ai. He gets back at the children of God by means of deception and to ensnare. The words of the famous battle hymn of the Reformation by Martin Luther, perhaps you have sung in our worship last Sunday, "A mighty fortress is our God." And in it, it has in the first stanza these words to warn us. "For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal." The Apostle Paul knew very well the cunning devices of the evil one, and so likewise warns us in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Therefore, brethren, Christian who want to be successful in spiritual warfare must first recognize that the evil one is deceptive and deceitful, and we are not his equal at all. In and of ourselves, we will not be able to overcome his many subtle attacks. The spiritual implication is this: recognize the deceitfulness and sinfulness of our own heart. According to the teaching of Jeremiah 17:9, I repeat, recognize the deceitfulness and sinfulness of our own heart. The spiritual enemies of God's people are of many kinds and types. Some may come into the church as pastors, preachers, but they are in fact false prophets, false teachers who twist and turn and manipulate scripture for their own selfish purposes. Paul described them as preaching another Jesus or preaching another gospel in 2 Corinthians 11:4 and also Galatians 1:6 respectively. Some may also come into the church as Christians applying for membership, but they are empty professors who pretend to hold the same doctrinal persuasion of the church, but once inside, they create schism and strife among God's people. So believers have not only the evil one from without to contend with, and also the influences of worldliness is another threat to the Christians. This again come in a variety of appearances, and their point of attack is through the eye gate and the ear gate. Then equally formidable is the remnant corruption within each one of us. The old man of self-will, pride, unbelief, slothfulness, impatience, discontent, strife, envy, and a host of others that believers have to resist and mortify, which only the Holy Spirit can do the work as we seek Him in prayer. The second precaution is this: depend on the Lord for every decision of your life. Moving to verse 14, we see that though Joshua and the princes did examine whether the Gibeonites were speaking the truth, they did not go far enough to seek for the truth. And worse still, we read there, they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Beloved, let us learn never to trust our own judgment, which is lean unto our own understanding. According to Proverbs 3:5, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. And also verse 7. But to rely on the Lord, or to depend on the Lord for every decision of life, which is this second precaution we need to take. Let us in humility seek the mind or seek the will of God through the meditation of Scripture, and to seek His Holy Spirit guidance through prayer. For God's will for our life is definitely better than our own will. These men of Gibeon came with all sorts of good intentions, seeking an alliance with the people of God, and even openly acknowledged God in verse 9 and humbled themselves in verse 8 and 11. All these were calculated to influence Joshua and the princes of Israel. But we see a totally different approach King David took in his decision making. In many situations of his life when he was not sure as to what to do or what not to do, we read in many portions of scriptures that David do what? David inquired of the Lord, which means he prayed to the Lord for guidance. For example, in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 2 and 4, 2 Samuel 2, 1 and 2 Samuel 5, 19, just to quote a few. And I'm sure in your own life, you have fallen into the foolishness of being hasty, impatient, impulsive in your decision making without asking counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You let your emotion do the decision making rather than seeking the will of the Lord first. And you have to pay heftily to learn the lesson of trusting, the lesson of depending and waiting upon the Lord patiently. Joshua and the children of Israel had to undergo the mournful experience of keeping the Gibeonites in their family as a lasting witness to their failure to seek the Lord for counsel. They let down their guard and had to face the consequences. For the believers, we too must bear the consequences of taking matters into our own hand and not being patient to seek the Lord for help, which is the sin of unfaithfulness, pride, and conceit. When we seek not the counsel of the Lord, we are at fault and we have to pay the price for being not watchful. Brethren, it is God's design from time to time to let us experience failure. Why? To remove His protective hedge over us so as to make us feel the evil of ungodliness and to feel the sinfulness of our sin, and thereby impress upon our hearts our helplessness and weaknesses, and in those dark hours to reveal to us His glory, power, and love. The book of Proverbs has this encouragement for the Christians. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8 verse 13 to 17. In addition to this, the wisest man who ever lived on this earth has this advice for all of us. There are many devices in a man's heart, Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 19 verse 21. Therefore, brethren, we do well to rely upon the Lord for every of our decision making. The third precaution is regard not the glow of victory to blind our clear perception. Regard not the glow of victory that will blind our clear perception. There are many Christians who love to relive their former glory of spiritual victory and pat their own back for their success. In this account, this was Israel's second failure after their entrance into Canaan, glowing by their victory at Jericho, possessed by a spirit of self-confidence, they were blinded by the fact that the capture of Jericho and Ai were not due to the brilliance of their strategy, of the valor of their armies, but to the miraculous working power of Jehovah. In essence, they were blinded by pride and self-sufficiency. They now deemed themselves to be very experienced and were assured by taking the remainder of Canaan would be easy, a simple task, and being so lifted up, their leaders, instead of seeking counsel from the Lord, foolishly adopted the Gibeonites' proposal. Their perception of the situation was clearly obstructed by the glow of their former victories. Does not this failure on Joshua's part remind us of the warning Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 10:12? Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Paul's warning is this: never be complacent. Never allow your success, whatever your success may be, to go up to your head. Or as the English idiom says it, do not let your head swell. In order to fight the good fight of faith successfully, we must maintain the place of dependence upon God and be constantly seeking wisdom from above and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that prayer is an indication of your dependence upon God? We must humbly acknowledge God, like the psalmist who says, God had done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm had gotten him the victory. Psalm 98 verse 1. Remember, we are just an instrument for God's use and for his glory, and whatever or what we are and what we have is because of him and belongs to him. Paul, preaching to the Athenians, said, for in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. And that is why the apostle Paul rebuked the Christian in Corinth for boasting, saying, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hast not received it? 1 Corinthians 4:7. In other words, what you are and what you have, your life, your spiritual gifts, talents, knowledge, and so on and so forth, you receive it from God, who is the giver who freely gives. So why boast? Brethren, the snares of the Gibeonite spiritually illustrate to us once again our need to turn to Christ for deliverance and salvation. In order to break away from our spiritual Gibeonites, which is in us, which is the deceitfulness and deception of sin, we need to turn to Christ. There's no other way out, for we have no other help and no power on our own to deal with sin and to be free from the guilt of sin. Acts 4:12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us recognize that the evil one is deceptive, and therefore he is not to be taken lightly. The bondage of sin cannot be easily and quickly broken off by our own effort. Only by the power of the blood of Christ will sinner be able to break free from this bondage of sin. For the believers, let us lean not unto our own understanding and realize that Jesus is the vine, and therefore rely on him for every decision of your life. Lastly, regard not the glow of victory that will surely blind our clear perception and cause you and I to fall into spiritual complacency, and you and I will reap the fruits of shame and sorrow and bring shame to the name of Christ instead of glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you will grant us humility and help us to diligently seek after thee, and not to lean unto our own understanding, but that, Lord, we may diligently seek thee and depend on thee and rely on thee, and that, Lord, you may grant us patience to wait upon you as we call upon you. Father, we pray for your help as we continue our pilgrim journey, and in this remaining days of this week, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.